Blog Talk Radio.
I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him for as long as I live. And praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, the servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high? He humbled himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with the princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a loving mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Let everything that hath breath on this blessed resurrection day praise the Lord, for he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of all praise. And I have read for your soul's inspiration and your listening consideration Psalms 116, verses 1 through 2. And the last reading was Psalms 113, verses 1 through 9. We already know that God has added a blessing to the reading of his word, for the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And this is a very exciting time in the word of God, for God is doing that which is concerning him. He is fulfilling the promises that he spake forth in his word. For he told us that his word would not return unto him void, but it would accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. And trust me to tell you, this is a high time of miraculous interventions right here and right now on this temporal plane. You tuned in to Manna from on High, heard on the blogtalkradio.com. That's right, on the blogtalkradionetwork.com, brought to you by way of the satellite. That's why God has given mankind such a higher level of intellectual capacity to create and to orchestrate. And if all men would praise the Lord for his great and marvelous act, God would do even the more. Amen. And so many times we get caught up in the rhetoric of this thing called life. Even so, on this glorious and victorious resurrection day it is, Resurrection Sunday it is, April the 21st, 2019, we get so caught up in the midst of what is required of us on a day-to-day basis, we forget to take out that quiet time and just to give God the praise, the honor, the glory that he so well deserves, he's entitled to. Because without him, we are nothing, neither can we do anything. That's right. And so many times over and over again, we think that God requires stupendous obligations for us. All God asks for from us is our obedience, our willingness to submit to his will, our praise, our prayers, and to work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. That's mean with regards and respect, not being afraid, but respectfully so, do what it is that needs to be done to be full of good works, so that we know that by our fruits men shall know us. That's right. And a tree is known by the fruits that it bears. And it is that season. That's right. For us, bring forth the beauty of the fruits that God has implanted within us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the cultivating of his word. That's right. And it is that time, that period, that we need to show forth what God is and what he is doing in our lives. You want miracles? Make miracles happen. Give God the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the glory. Speak that into existence instead of feeding it into negativity and depression and consistent complaining and bickering, give God thanks and praise and acknowledge. And you know that God's word says that thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established, and the light of God shall shine upon our path. So we need to speak those things into existence. And we, when we speak into existence and we're walking the pathway of righteousness and we're submitting to God's word and we're maintaining our equilateral relationship with him through salvation, through supplication, through motivation, God will honor that which he spake and he promised unto us. Because God is not slack concerning his promises. No, he is not. And neither should we be slack concerning our obligation to fulfill the promises of God right here, right now, in this millennial generation. And we're just thanking God today as so many are going up and about in their activities on the Sunday. Many are going into the congregation celebrating Easter. Let me tell you something. And this is a definite word of knowledge. We don't have to give forte in the way of saying Easter as the world celebrates Easter, because but we've done our research and our hermeneutic investigations. We found out that Ishtar represents the name Easter. And this was a time of fertility. That's right, and of frivolous practices of the flesh. We're not tending to the flesh. We're tending to the power of the Holy Spirit. So instead of us giving way to Easter Sunday, we're saying Resurrection Sunday. That's right, the day and the time that Christ, he validated everything he spake to his disciples, to the believers and to the non-believers, that when his body were to lay in the tomb, in the sepulcher, that on the third day, he would rise up, and he did just what he said he would do. Why? Because he knew that mankind's redemption relied upon him taking care of what needed to be done on the eternal level. He had to release the spirits that were in prison to those who didn't get the opportunity to experience the one-on-one ministry of Jesus Christ that came on and went about. He had to preach to those spirits in prison and to free them so that they could go to paradise. Amen? So when he was in the sepulcher those 3 days, and on the third day he resurrected, he was in a continuum with the plan of Almighty God to release those spirits that were in captivity and to set the captives free and to put the final seal of redemption upon mankind so that mankind would not face an eternal fate of separation from God the Father, Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh. So we have to understand that there's power behind the resurrection. The resurrection not only stood for the fact of just Jesus doing what had to be done to redeem us from eternal separation, it also can be applied as a day-to-day lesson for each and every one of us, that through Christ, through Jesus Christ, through his blood, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Through his sacrificial blood, he atoned us. The blood brought us back to our original creator, God the Father. The water that came out of his side cleansed us from all of our unrighteousness. And even so, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash you whiter than snow. It doesn't get any whiter and any purer than that. So there's so much that just is relevant to the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is why he is Lord, because he is Lord according to the word of God. In the beginning was the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. That's right. His name even referred to as Emmanuel, God with us. So we must understand the power behind the authority that's given unto Jesus Christ. He said all power is given unto him. And through his name, through his authority, not our own, we don't possess any degree or dexterity of authority outside of the name of Jesus Christ. It's through his authority we overcome the obstacles of this world. Evil presences are casted out. Mankind is healed of various diseases and conditions. That financial breakthroughs, miraculous interventions, the very elementation of divinity is captivated through and in mankind through the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way that we can do anything without the authority of his name, without the divine seal of approval of his presence. And we must remember that so that we don't get caught up at any given time in the wrong spirit, in the wrong mindset, or in the wrong way. That's right. This is the reason why there's so many people speaking this word. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's time to resurrect from where you are and come to where God would have you. There's so many people that have been spiritually heartbroken because they set their affections on things upon the earth, upon people, upon ministries, upon personalities. I'm speaking to you through the power of the Holy Spirit, not on my own capacity or ability, but through the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, they invested their energies, their time, their focus upon these things, upon these individuals. And when they came to the flourishing of understanding that these individuals were not obedient unto God, they were not walking in the light of God, nor being subjected to the will of God, these individuals became spiritually abused. They became confused. See, we have to understand, there is only but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and there's only one creator. When we take our eyes off God the creator, this is a word of breakthrough. This word is not meant for everybody, but it's meant for somebody. When we take our eyes off the creator and start focusing upon the creation, this is where the unbalancing of the spiritual harmonies occur. We must remember at every given time our relationship, our focus, our worship, our adoration has to be God-focused, God-centered, and God-based. Anything out of that is not going to be profitable to any of us, and none of us are beyond experiencing such occurrences. We've got to come back to where we belong. And where we belong is focusing upon the will of God, that his will be done, that we be the very elements, the instruments of his greatness upon this earth. And when we do God's will, God will allow his will to be made manifest in our lives. The prosperity will come. The miraculous interventions will occur. Those hindrances, those barriers will be destroyed and decimated and broken down to nothingness because we have set our affections upon him. And just thank God for the power of his word. Thank him for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he loved us so. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whosoever believeth upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus being our Lord, our Savior, for him being the Christ, the anointed one. Thank God for just being the creator of mankind, who we entrust with our present life and certainly with our eternal life. That's right. And we're going to live good here, but we're going to live even greater after that. That's right. Because God has so destined for each and every one of us to experience his greatness right here and right now. And even when men are casted down, they will look at us and say, you know what? There is lifting up. and just thank God for all of his miraculous deeds, his miraculous doing that he is persistently performing to those who love and trust him. But we need to go back to the very elements of God's presence in our lives so that we can definitely extol the name of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We're not perfect. We're imperfect beings who seek the presence of a perfect and living God. Let us go to the book of Galatians. We're going to go to the sixth verse because the house needs to get in order. It's spring cleaning time. Some of the things that the barriers that we experienced previously, the hindrances, the insolitudes that we had encountered from the previous season, we need to let those things go. It's spring cleaning time so that the beauty and the brightness of the season will emanate through miracles, through divine interventions, through the very supernatural workings of God. And the only way we can do that, we got to put all that old dusty stuff, those heavyweight blankets, those hindrances, those barriers, we got to lay those aside or put them away. When you lay something aside, you get rid of it. You put it in storage or else you dispose of it. And if there's anything in your life, and even in my life, that is not benefiting or profiting me, I'm casting it aside. I'm acting as though it's an abhorring thing and so that I can receive the new and the wonderful things that God has so planned for me in this manner from on high, season, this rhema, this anointed and appointed season, and you should do the same thing too. You're not going to turn around winter boots out. You're going to take those winter boots, especially if they're not in the most immaculate condition, you're going to discard them because why? They'll smell, they're not going to look attractive. You want to get rid of anything that will not attract the very powers of God working in your life and on your behalf. You have to cast those things asunder. And here in the book of Galatians talks about how we need to be immaculate, how we need to straighten up our act, how we need to put things away that are not profitable to us. So many aspects of the book of Galatians reminds me of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. It talks about laying aside every weight and the sin. But here, Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Galatia because they had some of their priorities unbalanced. They were not quite clear in the way that they should walk and the way they should conduct themselves. And Apostle Paul, the second chief in charge, who was the chief letter writer, the chief orator. That's why, see, Peter had the revelation of who Jesus was. This is how he became the chief apostle. But Apostle Paul has a methodology of written communication and of great oration in which he could reach people. Sometimes the things that he would say would be a little bit accurate to many of the individuals who experienced his ministry. But nevertheless, he spoke through permission, through the power of the Holy Spirit, in which God had convicted him into addressing certain issues in the church of the believers. And we talk about church, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about individuals who were experiencing certain elements of imbalance, and God was not being glorified and working forth the miracles in which he desired. The sixth verse in the first chapter says, brethren, and again we're in Galatians, the sixth chapter, the first verse. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Apostle Paul is saying, if you see your brethren and he or she is acting in a character that is not reflective of the fruits of the Spirit, the things are which are of God, don't go out and criticize them and ostracize them and put them down and talk them down and say that they're not Christians and that they don't desire to do what God said do. No, he said consider the fact that they are human beings that are seeking a higher level of spirituality and obedience through the power God, working through the Holy Spirit, and consider the fact that their flesh is governing their spirit instead of their spirit governing their flesh. He says, now consider these things. In a spirit of meekness, you go to them. When you're meek, you're not blaming. You're not shouting. You're not yelling, making a public show, being confrontational. You go to them in a sidebar conversation, and you speak to them in a way that you're compassionate, not pointing fingers. Because, again, so many people have been spiritually shipwrecked. They don't know what direction they're going. They don't know whether to believe or not believe, to walk in authority or to walk in disarray. They don't know whether to walk according to the obedience of the Holy Spirit or to walk in their emotions. So there's a lot of turmoil there. And so you need to go to them and speak to them in a kind way, understanding, compassionate, because Jesus had compassion upon those whom he never even encountered other than through his ministry. He didn't say to the woman with the issue of blood that apparently you did something in your life that wasn't right. This is the reason why you're, you know, in this condition. No. He told her to take up and to go forward, and she was made whole according to her faith. He didn't criticize her, even to the woman who was considered as the adulteress, who the Pharisees wanted to just stone and just condemn her. Jesus didn't condemn her. He merely let her know that she was forgiven. Now, whether or not she went out and did what she did over again, we don't know. But we just know that when the master spake, all things were in divine order. So we need to consider that when we see those who are not walking in the accordance of humility and obedience, lest we also be overtaken with the same circumstance and fall victim to it. You know, this is the reason why we have to be so careful. There is life and death and the power of the tongue. And we need to be mindful of that. Second verse, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Apostle Paul saying, when your brethren are experiencing circumstances, pray for them. Don't criticize them. Don't sit up and rejoice at their downfall, because remember, be not deceived. Galatians 6:4, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we need to be careful of these things. So we need to be mindful that if we don't allow ourselves to be obedient to these things, we will fall victim to them. That's right. For if a man that thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, some people, when you talk to, they make you feel so inadequate. They make you feel as though, that, you know, you've done something wrong. You're experiencing some adversity in your life. Well, you know, you have poor financial practices, you know, or you're experiencing a relationship, you know, imbalance. Oh, there's something that you must have did. You're not doing what you're supposed to do at home. Some people are so judgmental until it's to the point that they make you uncomfortable even sharing or even expressing that something is going on with you. You know, we have to forgive individuals that walk in that mannerism, because that is not the attitude of Jesus Christ. As he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's right. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we have to be mindful of these things. And some people exalt themselves. They put on their big floor shows and their exuberant celebrations so that men can marvel at them. Well, they have their reward with men, but they don't have their reward coming with God. Instead of a man thinks he's something outside of what truth is or what God's word is and God's presence is, he is nothing. He deceives himself. That's right. That means he's fooling himself. He's not fooling anyone else. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. So what is Apostle Paul saying? So if you're really and truly about God's business, then you're going to provide those fruits reflective of your labor. That's right. Your labor and your fruits should match. That's right. It should be an even distribution. Both sides should be balanced. And if you're doing these things to honor God, well, then God will bless you. He will prosper you. You don't have to panhandle. You don't have to put yourself out there on a platform so people can marvel behind you, because God is not being glorified. When we glorify God and put God's name first, we exalt the name of Jesus Christ as Lord, and we go forth in the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's the anointing of God, after all, that breaketh the yoke. Then God is glorified, and when God is glorified, we prosper. When God's name is presented and his presence is acknowledged, then we become promoted because we're pleasing God. That's right. This is how the strongholds, the hindrances, all the high places are broken down. The next verse tells us, for every man shall bear his own burden. That means that every man is accountable of his own actions, of his own behaviors. We can't go around blaming our behaviors of inconsistency and incontinency upon others. That runs out. We have to assume responsibility for our own etiquette, our own behavior. Because, again, a tree is acknowledged by the fruits that it bears. A good tree cannot bring forth corrupted fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Sixth verse, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What's Apostle Paul saying? To us who know the word, who know the responsibility that God has laid upon us in certain areas, certain ministerial workings, or certain assignments. See, assignments are based upon time frame, location, and population. And God has assigned many of us into areas in which we have very little knowledge of in a certain aspect. We may have natural knowledge, but we don't have the fullness of the spiritual knowledge. And this is when the grace of God comes into placement to show us how to work through the natural elements to attain the spiritual attention of those who are striving against the very confrontation of life on certain things that are hindering them from becoming a whole individual. So this is the reason why it's so very important that we acknowledge these things and that we study the word, that we pray, that we open ourselves up to God so that he can reveal to us. Because sometimes you may think that this person may need one method of operative, and the Holy Spirit is telling you, no, that is not the problem. You are talking about the symptom, but you're not dealing with the condition. See, the condition is a result of the symptoms being left untreated. So if the symptoms are relevant and cause the condition, the root elementation is we have to address the condition, and then when we address and deal with the condition, the symptoms will disappear. And this is what we have to do through the power of God's word and through his presence. And here we begin. We said Galatians 6 and 7. Oh, be not deceived. Don't be tricked. Don't be fooled. Don't undermine yourself. Don't do yourself to spite yourself. God is not mocked. I know we hear people making these elementational jokes and gestures about God, about Jesus Christ. You know something? They do it out of ignorance. They do it out of exaltation of the negative mindset. They do it out of stupidity and idolatry. God is not mocked. Anyone who has ever mocked the name of God has paid for it. Trust me to tell you, it's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of a living and an angry God. It's not a good thing at all. And he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, when we were growing up in a different day, in a different era, I'm not ashamed to tell you, in the 70s, we used to hear the elderly say, people reap just what they sow. What you put out, you get back. This is where they got
that adage, that jargon from this scripture, Galatians 6 and 7, that God is not mocked whatsoever a man sow. Whatever you put in the ground, you plant potatoes, don't expect tomatoes to take root. If you plant green beans, don't expect cabbage. Whatever you put in the ground, whatever you nurture, whatever you water, whatever you irrigate, whatever you cultivate is going to come up, is going to spring forth. Then you will have to reap it. It's called the balance. You put out, you get back. And so, therefore, if you put out negativity, don't expect the blessings of Abraham, the divine favor of Abraham, to follow you. When you turn around and you're always talking negative about others, don't expect others to speak well of you. You put out wickedness, don't expect goodness to come into the harvest. It's not going to happen. Scientifically, you can't plant a certain type of vegetation and expect another vegetation to take manifestation. It doesn't happen. How much more so on the accelerated level of the spiritual aspect? You can't. So whatever you put out, it's going to come back in, and you will have to have it harvested. Reaping is a form of harvesting, picking it. Now, 4, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That means if you sow negativity, you sow controversy, you sow discord, you sow jealousy, you sow envy, you sow strife, you sow malice, you sow hatred, you sow those things, you will be made to eat. Not only reap, you got to eat what you reap. Isn't that something? You got to eat what you put in the ground and what you harvested. You're going to have to live off of it. So they that are of the flesh shall reap corruption. What is corruption? Corrosiveness, rotting, unappealing, unattractive, stenching, undesirable results. That's corruption. It's unclean. It's not fit for anything. If you put out negativity and wickedness and evil things, you're going to reap the benefits of your labor, which is going to result in negativity in your life, discord, disharmony, unbalance, and all of the things that make life literally unbearable. He said, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap the everlasting. That means if you sow to the Holy Spirit by praying, by trusting God, by speaking the word of God, by doing the good works that he has commanded of us, by walking in the obedience of his word, by trusting him, by allowing him to lead you and guide you, and guide over your affairs, you will reap the everlasting benefits. That means the perpetual, the continual benefits of his presence, of prosperity, of great health, of great and dynamic breakthroughs. Persistently, you will experience the interventive powers of God in your life. Why? Not just for us to sin on them, but so that we can turn around and, like the domino effect, impute the same occurrences in the lives of others. And this is what God wants us to do with his greatness, with his miracles, with his breakthroughs, with his supernatural interventions, to impute and to invest in the lives of others. So that what? So that others will know that he lives. How are they going to know how he lives and does he live? Through us, through the way we live, through the way we experience, through what we have, through what we do, through our character, through our abilities. This is how he validates himself, through his children. That's right, through the deeds and the actions of his children. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I love the scripture. Underline that. That's Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Cast not away your confidence, for you have a great recompense of reward. Sometimes it seems as though we're just beaten down, we're just cast down, and we just don't feel as though that all of our work, all of our endeavors, all of our labors, all of the things that we've done have even been appreciated, more so even acknowledged. We feel like we're always paying it out, paying money out. We feel like we're always giving to others, but no one gives to us. We feel like we're always doing for others, no one does for us. Apostle Paul encouraged us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He said, what? And let us not be weary in well-doing. Keep doing good. You're doing good, do even better. You're doing right, become even more righteous. You're being diligent, become even more diligent. Be not weary in well-doing, for ye shall reap in due season if you faint not. I mean, don't get weary. The darkest hour. And I used to hear the elderly speak and say this, honey, the darkest hour is just before dawn. Why? Because the sun is about to break through those clouds, and the glory of God is about to shine through. So we be perpetual, be continual, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abiding in the word, trusting God, speaking those things as though they were until they manifest, trusting God, praising God, worshiping him, acknowledging him. He said, and we will reap in due season if we faint not. Many of us have become bored, we become tired, we become overwhelmed, discouraged, disgusted, and almost to the level of depression. Hold on. Just hold on. Hold on just for a little while longer, because everything is going to work itself out right. God is about to do the most. What you could deem as impossible, he's going to make it possible. That miracle that you've been praying for and asking God for, God is going to manifest it right in the face of those who doubted you and those who didn't want to see you prosper. God is going to prosper us right in their faces. And you remember what King David said? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Oh, yes, that's right, Psalms 23. And even when he spake that, he's saying that you will bless me and exalt me and prosper me in the face of those who hoped my demise. Because thou art God, and beside you there is none other. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. That means that God is not a respecter of persons. If we're all God's children, even to those who are walking about in the spirit of disobedience and maybe doing things that are reflective of illegality, they're God's children too. And, you know, even though they're God's children, they may not acknowledge it, but every individual that walks this earth comes from God. That's right. If it wasn't God's will, they wouldn't be here. And some children are disobedient. Some children you have to be a little bit more confrontational with in order to get the best out of them. And we know that many of the sheep have strayed away. That's right. But they're still God's children, and we still have to do good by them. God is not a respecter of persons. He is not. So therefore, we can't be a respecter of persons. We're to treat every individual right, because God is watching us. Isn't that right? And the power of the Holy Spirit will convict us if we do not. And that we, especially due to those who are biblical teachers, who are leaders, who are ascribing to do that which is right, who are constantly doing, we have to even more so be respectful in regard of them, not treating them any different, but to just show a little bit more integrity as it relates to the labors, because being in the area of instruction, being in the area of education, being in the way of leadership is a very hard and labor-intensive task, because people fail to realize that you are a human being. That's right, that you are a natural person, and that you have the capacity to also express human emotion. So it's really difficult, and we have to solely rely upon the grace of God to be our shield, to be our comforter, and the power of the Holy Spirit to intervene for us. And we certainly have to stand in the stead for others and for ourselves, that God will supply all that which he promised unto his children and to all they that loved him. He said, ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Apostle Paul saying, you see all this that I have written unto you, this correspondence is an awful lot, and it may be very extensive. He said, but it's a reason. 12 verse, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Jesus Christ. What is he saying? He says, as many that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, that means that those who appease to want to comfort you in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They recommend that you take on religious vain religiosity, that you put on a certain face to impress others. He said, this is not an external expression to get attention. This is an internal intervention that brings about a physical expression that reflects God. See, the power of the Holy Spirit works from within, and there's an outward transformation. The hypocrites and the religious organizations establish and put on outside shows to gain the respect and the proclivity of mankind. But there's nothing going on from within. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He says, but they don't refer you back to the persecution for the cross of Christ. I mean, bring it back to Jesus Christ. We're not supposed to be at the bottom. We're not supposed to be lacking and limited. We're to have the best that life has to offer with persecution, which people may look at us and say, how did she get this? How did she have this? How did he attain so much? How did he get so much? And when they come to us, we can say, it's because of the grace of God that allowed me to have these things, that allowed me to be in excellent health, that allowed me to be in excellent mindset, that allowed me prosperity, that gave me wealth so that I can enrich and enhance the lives of others. This is how. And that's the persecution he's talking about. You know, people don't want to persecute you. You don't have much of anything. You're not a threat. You're only a threat when you have a lot. And people want to question integrity of how did you get this? Because our God is an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He is a God of the plenitude, and he's a God of the altitude. He said, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your kingdom. He said, some people want you to be a part of their organization as a way to say, look, I've gained more membership for our establishment. They're not doing it because they so much have the righteousness of God in heart. They're doing it to be the appeasement of mankind. This is why it's so important that we focus ourselves, that we allow ourselves to experience the very height, the depth, and the breadth of God, to maintain that one-on-one relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our Lord to the glory of God. He is God's only begotten Son. It's through his name and through his mediation that Father God can look upon us as his now, once again, reunited beloved children. And we just thank God for Jesus. We thank God for all of you who have tuned in today. And listen, be ready, because we're coming back to you to continue on talking about getting our spring cleaning in order so we can receive the very best that God has to offer. And we say to you, glorious and victorious resurrection day it is. Have a miracle-filled and meticulous and melodious week. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. You've got your host, the Esquire Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, saying, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you for tuning in to Manna from on High. We'll see you again next week.